Happy New Year and welcome to Crossroads. We are so excited to start a brand new year with you, and we're expecting God to do incredible things through us. If you're joining us for the first time today and you're looking to find out more about Crossroads and how you can become part, join us for the start of our growth track at Next Step with Chuck today at 12:30 p.m. in the London Institute. At Next Step, you'll get to hear Pastor Chuck's testimony, the history of our church, and where we're headed. A meal and kids ministry is provided. Well, many of you have probably set new goals and are looking to grow in different ways this year. One of the best ways to grow is by being in community with others. We do that through life groups, which are small groups of people meeting in homes to encourage and challenge each other in their relationship with the Lord. If you're looking to become part of a life group or would be interested in learning how to lead one, join us for our life group rally on Friday, January 15th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in the Plex. Another way to grow in your leadership this year is by coming to Leadership Matters. On February 6th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., we want you to hear about two important topics. You might not know this, but narcissism is a growing concern that will impact your company or your family in a negative way if you aren't aware of it. We also want to teach you how to have crucial conversations that will allow for a healthier relationship between you and the people you lead. It'll also increase your productivity as a business. Leadership Matters costs $10, and you can register online at crossroadschurch.com. Well, we are so excited to announce that we have been chosen to host the Tim Tebow Night to Shine event here on our campus on February 12th. The Night to Shine is a prom for our disabilities community, and it is a do not miss. If you'd like to be a buddy and accompany a participant to the prom, or you'd like to serve in another way that night, we'd love to have you register online at crossroadschurch.com. Stop by to see us in the lobby after service to ask questions. Well, today we're kicking off a brand new series called Happy New You. Crossroads, please welcome our senior pastor, Chuck Brewer.
Welcome, welcome, welcome today. And if you're a Crossroads family, it's good to begin the year together. All you who are visiting, we're excited. And by the way, if you're a visitor and you want to connect with our church, after our 11 o'clock service at 1 o'clock up in our London Institute, we'd love to have you come up to Next Step. And I want to share, you're going to hear my testimony. I want to meet you and share that. And then I want to just have a time for you to be able to connect and make this your church family. I also want to say a big shout out to our online campus. Dwayne Porter is watching in Washington today. Dwayne, praise God that you're on. And I love the chance for our online campus just to be a place of real ministry and family. I'm going to give you a heads up if you haven't already caught it. I've got that cold that's going around. No, I have not started puberty. This is a cold. But you know what? As the message today, I just really can't wait to share with you. Before we get to that, though, let me just give you an emphasis on something, and that's Leadership Matters. All of you who have leadership in your home, you have leadership in the church, you have leadership in your business area, we want to do things to help you get better at that, because that will cause other people's lives to actually be affected in positive ways. And so this will help you professionally, it'll help you in ministry, it'll help you in your family life. So it's things that matters to leaders. This next one's on February 6th. I'd love for you to be there. It's from 9 to 12, costs 10 bucks, but I'll tell you what's going to happen. You'll be in a room with seasoned leaders and young leaders. You'll have a chance to network iron versus iron. But we're going to give you tools to handle two important things that will make your leadership soar. One is the area of narcissism. People who have narcissistic tendencies, or even worse, a narcissistic disorder, you need to know the traits and you need to have tools with how to deal with them. It's a growing problem in every area of our lives. So we want to teach you about that. We have a true expert, Dr. David Smith, who's going to be able to tell you about that and help you in that area. The second is, how do you have crucial conversations? I want to tell you, get ready for this. 98% of the people in the United States do not know how to do that. If you learn the tools, it will make you better in every area of your life. And so we want to give you those. So be sure and come, but not just you alone. Invite coworkers. You know, even especially non-Christians, that say, hey, do you want to grow in leadership? By the way, do you want to know how to handle a narcissist? Our boss is a narcissist, you know, and bring them with you, you know. And I want to tell you, it's going to be an incredible day. So it's a don't miss, be sure to be there. We're going to do four a year. One will be a retreat, and I'd love to have you be a part of that. But I am excited about how we're kicking off the new year. Happy New You. God wants you happy, and he always wants to do new things in your life, and he wants you to attain goals, and he wants you to grow, and that's actually what the Bible teaches, and sometimes we miss that. The Beatitudes open up with blessed. The word blessed actually means be happy. Happy are those, joyful are those who have certain attitudes in their lives, and we want to show you some key things that will help you actually grow to be more and more the person God wants you to be and attain the goals that you deep down want to attain. So this is the whole idea. Knowing it's a new year, let's set good goals. Knowing it's a new day, let's live life in an incredible way. And you know what? God, deep down, wants you, even in the tough times, to be feeling good. And we're going to start with that. Let's pray. Lord, I pray right now that we would understand not only is it a new year and it's a new day, and with you, every day is a new day we're to rejoice in. But Lord, there are times when we just get it right, it's feeling good. May we be people who experience in victory after victory that way this year, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
All right. Hey, let Ricky know how you feel about him today. Yeah. And the band and the horns, right? How about horns? Man, what a way to start the new year. Love it. Really excited for what we're about to dig into right now and over the coming weeks. I want you to know that I'm actually really big on the idea of setting goals, and Pam and I usually end the year evaluating what's happened in our lives. And then what we do is we usually use that last week and the first week to set new goals to move forward. Now, I know not everyone does that, but I want you to know that I think you ought to, and I'll kind of dig into why in a minute, and want you to really experience more from the Lord. But I don't know if you heard about the guy that he was asked the question, what's the ultimate desire in your life? And he said, you know what my ultimate desire is? I wanna die like my grandfather did, peacefully in his sleep. Not like the other passengers in the car he was driving, kicking and screaming. Okay, you laugh. I've tried that two other services, no one did. All right, thank you. But you know what? What's your ultimate desire? What is it you want to see happen? What has God put in your heart? What do you want to attain to? See, God wants you to do that. And one of the things I want to grab hold of is don't have a fatalistic idea that we can't make it. Now, I know statistically, the vast majority who have New Year's resolutions don't fulfill them. But I want to tell you that we know why. And when you know why and you actually do the right thing in the right way, you're going to find yourself attaining them. See, here's the two messages I want to give you that you're going to learn for 5 weeks. Number one, you can grow and you can change. You can. You actually can be successful in setting goals and attaining them. The second is this. The most important part of what we're going to talk about, if you get these right things right, you're going to grow closer to God. You're going to be more in tune with Him. You're going to hear His voice. You see, that's what I want you to grab hold of. And so God desires that for you. God wants that for you. Jesus in Luke 16:10 said these words. Now, don't miss this. This is big. He who was faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous in much. The principle that flows out of that, the promise that comes from that is this. If you get the little things right, it'll have big effects in your life. It can have a huge impact. And so what you need to know is that while the Word of God obviously is true, science now backs that up. And there's a book out called The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. And what he talks about in there is that if you and I get the right things right and have small wins, guess what? It has a huge impact and ripple effect in your life. He calls those keystone habits. If you have certain keystone habits correct, then what will happen is you build on small wins from that, and then you start seeing big change. You know, let me give you an example. We're not going to get into this specifically, but if you had to, so I'm going to set a goal this year to be in better shape. Statistically, you're not going to make it. Let me tell you two reasons why. One is the vast majority of people don't. Number two, that's probably not the right way to set the goal. See, if you do in weeks 3 and 4, I'm going to give you two things you do set as goals. If you put those in place, you'll get in shape this year. And you know, you can have it, you can happen, but you got to do, here's the key, you got to get the right things right. You got to get the right things right. Which brings us to what I want to have you think about. What is the most important thing of all you need to get right? And that's your relationship with God. So this week and next week, we're going to talk about that. Some of you already know what I'm about to talk about. Please don't tune out. You need to hear this. You need to institute it. You need to make sure that's what's going to happen in your life. Because when you make these changes, it will have a huge effect in your life. And God wants you to do that. And so we want you to be aware of it. And see, here's the key. God is moving. God is talking. God wants you to know if you get the right things right and get some little things right, then big things will happen. To help me illustrate that, by the way, I want to have Laura come out right now. And Laura is going to help me show you how just making the right additions in the right way can have what I want to call an effort effect in your life. Would you welcome Laura as she comes out to share with us right now? This is Laura Coronado for all of you who are visiting. And Laura is a singer, songwriter, and she also leads our apprentice ministry. Tell us a little bit about the apprentice ministry.
Our apprenticeship is our music ministry, our worship ministry here at Crossroads, and we're just really developing the heart of a true worshiper, and so we like to just lead the next generation in what it means to worship God on and off the stage. So.
Yes, and the big deal is off the stage, right?
Yes.
I mean, a big part of that is helping them grow in the Lord, and I love your leadership in that. And by the way, for all the single guys who are looking at her today, you're in a relationship, right?
I am, yes.
Okay, she's off limits. I want you to know. I had a guy come up to me a couple weeks ago going, tell me about the girl singer. I said, she's got a boyfriend. Stay away. So anyway, and you're a makeup artist. She's Laura Coronado, M-U-A.
Yes, Mua.
Mua, yeah, yeah. I actually thought Mua was her last name. But anyway, when you apply makeup to people, I think one of the big deals is it's a little bit of makeup causes great change.
Yes, yes. A little bit goes a long way.
Yeah, and too much.
You go too far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, she's not going to attack anybody today. All right, so here's what I want to do. I asked Laura to do this partly because I don't want to get messy. And she's going to show you how just adding something small, just a few tablets to this Diet Coke will make a big, big deal of what occurs. So get ready, Laura. And I know you've already done this once before, but I want to be careful here. So all right, drum roll, go for it. So get ready, go ahead, yep, go for it, and she's going to make it happen. Watch what occurs, whoa! Good job, Laura, let her know, all right, thank you. By the way, we tried this in Diet 7-Up, it doesn't work. Isn't that interesting? For some reason, it's Diet Coke, you put in Mentos tablets, and it just takes off. Are you ready? When you have what's right inside of you, you're not plain old Diet 7-Up. You're the Diet Coke special. Then guess what? God does big things in your life. And that's what I want you to grab hold of. So what are those things you drop in? What are those things you make sure are in place so you can, number one, we say we want to have you be able to change and actually attain your goals and be effective. Number two, most important of all, you hear from God. Well, we find it beginning in Luke chapter 10. Jesus is talking to a woman named Martha. Now, what set up this discourse, what set up him being able to share this with her is something you and I need to tune into. You see, Martha had a sister named Mary and a brother named Lazarus. And Jesus has come to their house. All the apostles are with him. Martha's doing what, by the way, Middle Easterns do. That she is making an incredible meal. If you've ever eaten in the Middle East, there's a pre-meal, which is bigger than most of our meals. There's a meal, and there's always dessert. Isn't that pretty cool? And so if you ever go to Israel with this, you'll experience that. But here's what I want you to grab. She is working away and slaving away for 14, 16, 18, 20 people. And she's beside herself wanting it to turn out right. And she looks around and Mary is not there helping. You ever feel like you're the only one doing anything in your house? Yeah, why don't you point at your husband and say, or my wife and say, stop, you help. You know, and here's what happens is she is just upset. And Jesus is teaching, and Mary is sitting right at his feet. She has gotten the closest seat possible next to Jesus. She's moved right in. By the way, it's culturally was not acceptable for her to be there. And so finally, Martha has had it. And she walks out and says these words, Lord, don't you care? Have you ever thought that? Maybe you haven't said those words, but have you ever felt it? Have you ever felt like, Lord, my car broke down. Don't you care? Lord, I'm the only one in the house who's trying to carry the weight of everything in our household. Don't you care? Lord, I go to work and I'm the only one putting in the whole time. Don't you care? Lord, I'm in a student group. I'm the only one slaving away. Don't you care? God, do you not see? I can't seem to get ahead. I'm always taking two steps back. Don't you care? And isn't it interesting how that was her attitude? Jesus, do you even care? And no, I don't want you to miss his answer. In Luke 10, verse 41, he says, Martha, Martha, you were worried and bothered about so many things. The word bothered is you're being needled. That's actually the literal meaning of that word. Something's needling and agitating you. Do you ever sit? So in that moment when things are needling and agitating you, listen to this, verse 42. But only one thing is necessary. So where do we start? The most important thing, the one thing that is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. If you and I get this part right, this is the good part. It will actually have an effect in your life. It will not be meaningless. It will not be vain. It won't be something you just institute and no effect comes from it. The Lord is saying here, Martha, you're just so caught up in all the wrong things right now. You're looking at all the big pictures and how there's not a meal and all these other things that are going on and the disaster that could happen. And you haven't looked at the one thing that matters most, being with me. So let's start there. See, this week and next week, being with the Lord is what matters most, because God does care about you. God does love you. God wants to speak to you. Are you ready for this? Job 33, verse 14 says, "Indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices." Remember, our overriding goal during these 5 weeks is you hear from God. You tune into God. And here's what I want you to know. God spoke to you today. God might be speaking to you right now. Last night, the Lord may have talked to you. This week, he's prompted you. The question is, did you know? It says God is speaking. We just don't seem to tune into it. And what we need to do is tune into it. Right now, there's a TV show on. It's 9 o'clock. It started called NFL Countdown. I love NFL Countdown. I TiVo it. And so because I'm here on Sunday, so I can't ever see it. And what happens is they go through all the highlights and all the commentary and all the disagreement. And they show the big hits. And they get you ready for the game. And that's on right now. And you know, get ready for this. The signal. For you to be able to hear it, for you to be able to see it, for you to be able to be a part of it, is actually in this room. And all you need to do to see it is pull out a smartphone, open up the ESPN app, and hit ESPN Live, and it will come on right now. And you could watch that instead of me. Look around. Is someone really looking at scripture? Is there a guy in this room smiling way too much? But don't you agree the signal's in the room? What you need is you need to be able to tune in. See, God is speaking to you. God wants to guide you. God loves you. Are we tuned into him? Elijah had to have a reminder about that in 1 Kings 19. Elijah was not only bothered by many things, he was depressed. He felt like he had lost. He'd had greatest victory in his life and he couldn't see it. Matter of fact, we celebrate that victory, and in that moment he couldn't. And what happened is Elijah actually says this, where he's so depressed. He says, "Lord, I'd rather die. I just don't want to live another day." And he's just bummed out. And he said, "God, I'm the only one who cares." Another Martha moment. "I'm the only one who cares." And the Lord says, "Well, I want you to get some good rest, and I want to give you some food." And then he says, "But come up on the mountain where you can get a better perspective." By the way, what I'm trying to say to some of you today is you need to come up on the mountain and get a better perspective. And so he's up on the mountain. And then here's what happens in 1 Kings 19:11. He says, "Go out and stand on the mountain," the Lord told him. And Elijah stood there, and the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain, and it was such a terrible blast that rocks were torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. And the wind, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. By the way, doesn't this sound like Southern California? Santa Ana winds. We got home from Denver, our backyard was demolished by Santa Ana winds. You know, but the Lord's not in the wind. That's why they're called Santa Ana, the devil winds. He's not in those. Earthquakes we have, you know, fires we have. It says, but you know what? God is still here. But where's God? Just like in Elijah's time in the gentle whisper. He's prompting you. He's talking to you. He's speaking to you. He wants you to know. One of my all-time favorite verses in the Bible is Jeremiah 33:3. It says, "Call to me." God, this is a promise from God. "Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and mighty things you do not know." The word "tell" is a Hebrew word, nagad. And it actually means either to tell, to speak, or it even more exactly means also to show forth. It could be either one. So God said, if you will call to me, I'm going to answer. And I'm going to tell you or show you great and mighty things you do not know. God wants you to experience the great and mighty. God wants you to experience change. God wants you to know his leading and his guidance. All that is for you. The question is, are we tuned in? And all these weeks, I want to help you tune in. Today, we'll start with the first two, but don't miss that. And what happens when you tune in? 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 from the New Living says this. This is what the scriptures mean. Whoa, stop there. The scriptures, what do the scriptures mean? Why do you open your Bible? You know, this intrigues me. When you open the Bible, let me ask you a question. I want you to respond back. Did God speak to Abraham? What was the answer? Did God speak to Jeremiah? Did God speak to David? Did God speak to Peter? Does he speak to you? Now, are you ready for the, when you open the scriptures mean to tell you something. You're supposed to be living out the Bible. You're not supposed to go, oh, well, that was the Bible times and today is different. No. So this is what the scriptures mean. It says, when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. God has prepared amazing things for you if you love him. We're going to start there in a minute. But it was to us that God revealed these things. How? By his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. See, what we're talking about is you experiencing God, so you actually change, you attain goals, and God shows you his deep secrets. So I want us to move that direction. So I thought this would be a fun thing to do because many of you already know this. Rather than just listing the points, I want to have you score yourself. On a scale of 1 to 4, 1 being, hey, I'm like everybody else, and 4 means, no, I'm really experiencing the things that God wants me to experience. So 1, 2, 3, or 4, and I'm going to ask you, number 1, to do it based on an acrostic that we believe will help you grow closer to God, help you tune into God. This acrostic comes from the Bible. My study of scripture, it comes from life experience, and it comes from our pastors meeting together. And ready, remember what we said, if you get the right things right, and have wins in these areas, they'll have a huge ripple effect in your life. So what is the acrostic? Well, it's L-I-F-E. And I know you can remember that, L-I-F-E, life, and to live the abundant life. And before you write anything down, just grab this. L is love, I is intentional intimacy, F is fully surrendered, we'll get to next week, and E is choosing to experience more. If you do those 4 things and make a commitment to do that, you will tune into God and you will find change and you will find success and you'll be like Mary. That the Lord says, you know what you're doing now won't be taken from you. It will matter. So let's start with L. Before you rate yourself with L, how are you in love? 1, 2, 3, or 4. Let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible tells us, number 1, 1 Timothy 1:5, that the goal of our instruction is love. The goal of my teaching you is love. The goal of our coming together is love. The goal of you reading God's word is love. Have you ever been around people who know the Bible really well, but they're incredibly mean? See, they missed the goal. The goal is love. You and I should grow in love. We should be far more loving. Now, it starts with loving God. In Mark 12:29-31, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest and most important commandment? And he said this. He said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God. This is the most important. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second greatest commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, there's no other commandment greater than these. In other words, these two, if you get these right, everything else that matters in life is going to happen. That loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself. The Lord said, if you do that, you're going to find yourself doing that. So here's the question. How are you in your love for God? Well, let me give you some ways to kind of prompt you before you write down your score. How are you doing in that? Number 1, if you love God, I want you to grab hold of this. You're going to obey his commandments. You don't obey his commandments to get his love. You obey his commandments because you love him. And in 1 John 5:3, it says, for this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Do you love God so much? You're like, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. I'll just do it. It's not a burden. January 1st was my birthday. And we were in Denver with the grandkids at Christmas, and I, on purpose, Pam and I flew home for my birthday to be with my mom. I've shared this a little bit, but if you didn't know, and you do, I'd just love for you to pray for her. My mom was told by the doctors that she doesn't have much longer. She's got joy. She has just incredible faith in the Lord, and she's just so excited to go be with Jesus. But we were just hoping we'd have Christmas. We were hoping we would have the new year. On my birthday, I wanted to be with my mom. So I'm going to have my birthday meal, and I'm going to cook it myself. I had filet mignon and mashed potatoes. Is that awesome or what? Mashed potatoes were the best. And so my mom comes over, and she's on oxygen, and Rich, my son, comes over, and he actually is there with my mom. So it's Pam and I, Rich and my mom. And so I'm cooking the meal. I wanted to cook my birthday dinner. And then I walk in, and I've got the mashed potatoes, and I've got the steaks, and I start to serve my mom. And she said, it's your birthday. I should be serving you. I was like, no, Mom. You've always taken care of me. You've always been there for me. I couldn't imagine anything better on my birthday than me getting to serve you. I didn't walk around going, oh, what a drag, it's my birthday, somebody serve me. Wouldn't you agree there's nothing better on your birthday than take care of your mom? Yeah. And it is not a burden to serve the Lord. God loves you. God cares about you. God loves me. God cares about me. And so all of us who love the Lord, we don't go, oh, what a drag. You know what? If I love God, I want to obey the commandments. And so on that scale of 1 to 4, I can put a 4 if my mindset is this, man, whatever you tell me to do, Lord, I'm going to do. Not my will, but your will be done. And by the way, here's what's so interesting about that. God says every commandment I give you is for your good. Do you know there's not a commandment in the Bible that benefits God directly? Did you know that? He always does it for you. It always is directly for you. Did you know that? Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 to 13. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding you today for your good. Did you grab that? Whenever there's a commandment in the scripture, you go, whoa, God wants me to do that? Well, it's for your good. God wants me to give that? It's for your good. God wants me to do it? It's for your good. And you ready? If you'll do that this year, you're going to have an amazing year. You're going to tune into God. You're going to change. You're going to grow. You're going to take your next step. And God says you're going to have success. You're going to have success. And so here's the thing we need to understand is that obeying God's commands is because we love him. Listen to what Jesus said about that. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and, catch this, disclose myself to him. Now, the word disclose there is a Greek word, emphanizo. You probably can think where the English words we get out of the word emphanizo. What is it? To emphasize, to have emphasis. Do you know what the Lord is saying? Jesus is telling you, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then my Father's going to love on you. I'm going to love on you. And you ready for this? We're going to emphasize our presence in your life. Did you grab that? That means we're going to talk to you. We're going to show things to you. We're going to have the great and mighty come your way. You're going to know our deep secrets. All that's going to be yours if you love me. But if you really love me, you're going to obey my commandments. And so here's the thing. If I love God, I'm going to obey his commandments. What else am I going to do? If I love God, scale of 1 to 4, I'm going to worship him with passion. Did you notice the all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, all that's there. You know what the Lord says? Keep my commandments with everything that's within you. I'm going to do that. And so what I want to do is I want to praise the Lord. And when I start praising God with passion, when you come and do that, and you say, I just want to live, I just can't contain it. I want the Holy Spirit to lift me through this. Do you know what happens? The Bible says God inhabits the what? The praise of his people. So guess what happens? You tune into God. You tune into God. Now, by the way, there's some of you who struggle with that. I sit over here and then I worship, but I got to be honest. Sometimes I look around. I've been looking at some of you. And some of you during worship, you don't look real happy. And you might say, no, I am. Well, you don't look like you're really in love with God. You might say, I am. Well, you need to tell your face because it's not showing. And if you say, well, that's not me, guess what? It is you. It's the born again you. You were born again for this. Don't let the world press you into its mold. And if you struggle with this, then you know what the Bible says? Give a sacrifice of praise. Come and worship God with passion. And that might be your area you need to grow. How about this? If you love the Lord, you're going to have a love for the lost. You're going to have a love for the lost. You're going to have a passion for the cause. Luke 19, 10, Jesus said, for this cause, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. And when you do, you're going to shine out. You're going to find great things occurring. Daniel 12, 3 says, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness in the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. And you and I need to do that. You need to courageously invite people to church. You know, we talked about that. And by the way, you've done it, but keep doing it. But we need to have this passion for people who don't know the Lord. Stephanie, who's on staff here in our children's area, I love her passion. So she decided she was going to build a relationship with her barista and make the courageous invite to Crossroads. So over the course of time, she got to know her name, and then now came the day she was going to do the courageous invite, and she walks in. She said, hey, I just got to ask you a question. How would you like to come to church with me? And the girl looked at her and said, well, I already have a church home. And she goes, what is it? And she goes, Crossroads. But she did it. She still made the courageous invite, right? You know what? Do you have a love for lost people? By the way, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you go, am I lost? Yeah, you're lost. You might go, I don't know that I'm lost. That doesn't mean you're not lost. God wants you found. God wants to love on you. God wants to show you things. And you and I to love other people enough to want that to happen. So you ought to have a prayer in your heart, an ache in your heart, a desire in your heart for people to come to know the Lord. You really need to have that. The next thing, you should be passionate for his church, his community. The Bible teaches that the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And you ready for this? He loves his bride. He loves you. He loves us. And we ought to love the bride of Christ. We ought to love the community of the Christians. In John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus said this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, and that you will love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. I will know you love the Lord if you love the other Christians here. You'll know I love the Lord if I love you, the family of God. If we genuinely have a love for one another. And so before I put a four on there, I got to ask the question, do I love my church family? Do I have a love for my church family? Now, ready for this. The next thing is you need to love the people God's put in your life, your family, your friends, your coworkers. I don't need to emphasize that anything. You already know that. And so you need to do it. But let me hit the last one here. I know I really have that love area right, that love mentality right when I love my enemies. Jesus said that's what's really going to set you apart. That's when the love of God has been pouring in your heart. Matthew 5, 43 to 48 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have you? And he says, don't even the tax collectors do that. He was saying people who don't know God and they're operating in a wrong way, they do that. He says, you know what? Be different. So 1 to 4, how am I doing? Do I really love God? Do I really want to obey his commands because I love him? Do I praise him because I love him? And if you're not a 4, that's okay. Don't be guilty on that. Say, you know, I'm a 3, but this year I want to move to 4. I'm a 2, I want to move to 4. Or I'm a 1, you know, I just want to move into that. And ask yourself that question. So L, love, rate yourself, love 1 to 4. Right now, if you have a chance, do it. If not, pray about it. Now, hear about I. This is the easy one, intentional intimacy. Now, we use this term a lot around here on purpose. It could be called a quiet time, but I don't really necessarily in my quiet time stay quiet. I don't know about you. Intentional intimacy, what's the definition of that? That's where you intentionally set a time every single day to meet with God. Now, are you doing that? On a scale of 1 to 4, are you 4? Every single day I meet with the Lord. Every day I open up the Bible. I read his word. I pray and ask him to teach me and guide me. I write down what he's telling me and I let him push me forward in that. Are you and I doing that together? You see, you need to understand something if you don't understand this. You matter to God. And God has nothing better to do than to spend time with you. You ready for that? God loves you so much, nothing matters more to him than you and him spending time together. These words that were spoken to Daniel are meant for you too. In Daniel 10, 19, an angel tells Daniel, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for you are very precious to God. Did you know that? You are very precious to God. And then he says, peace, be encouraged, be strong. And Daniel says, as he spoke these words to me, suddenly I felt stronger and said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. What Daniel said to the angel, you need to say to God. The Holy Spirit, if you could hear the Holy Spirit, tune in the Holy Spirit would say, you're precious to God. And don't be afraid. And as you hear those words, you're going to find yourself stronger and stronger and stronger on the inside. Just spending time with God every day is going to have a huge, huge impact in your life, a monumental impact in your life. And God wants to spend time with you. In Joshua 1, Joshua was facing a time where he was worried, he was bothered, and he was afraid. He was succeeding Moses. Can you imagine being the guy who takes over for Moses? And Moses had done the miracles. The only time Joshua, matter of fact, led the army, he started to lose unless Moses raised his hands. And then he would win. And if Moses dropped his hands, he would lose. So now everyone's going, that's the guy we're going to follow. And we're about to go in a battle against some pretty big opponents. And the Lord said, I don't want you to be afraid, Joshua. Don't be afraid. He said, but I want you to be successful. But how will you be successful? What's that one thing you need to do that will cause you to be successful? Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Memorize scripture. But you shall meditate on it day and night, and so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Do you want to have prosperity and good success this year? And by the way, I'm not talking money prosperity necessarily, but do you want to prosper in your life and have good success in your life? Do you want to attain your goals? Here's what you need to do. Be in the Word of God every day. Be in the Word of God every day. That one thing will change you more than you know. As a matter of fact, there was a study done amongst hundreds of churches, very exhaustive, very deep study, kind of a monumental study called the Reveal Study. And you know what they found? Nothing causes spiritual transformation more than being in the Word of God every day. Open up your Bible intentionally. Make sure you're with the Lord. Make sure you have time to give attention to Him. Tune into Him. Read His Word, asking Him to guide you. It's called intimacy because you want to spend time with God, asking Him to teach you and guide you. Then you know what's going to happen? You're going to tune into God. You're going to experience God, and God wants that for you. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, He said to this, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine. If you're consistently in my word and you will know the truth will make you free. Now, if you want to do this, and I'd love for you to do this, we've given you a reading plan in your program today. And this reading plan, it will take you through the whole New Testament next year. It will also take you through key passages of the Old Testament. And during our 40-day fast, which starts on Ash Wednesday, there are specific verses on purpose to guide you through the fast. So if you would read this every day with us, we could all do it together. You're going to find God moving and speaking in your life. As a matter of fact, today's the third. You can catch up very easily because I, on purpose, have us opening up the month of January reading the book of Proverbs every single day. You know, Proverbs 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if you do that, get ready. The wisdom of God is going to grow in you. That's what God promises, and He wants it for you. By the fact that if you read Proverbs 1, you also ought to read Psalm 19 with that, because you'll find something incredible happening. When you read Proverbs 2, then do this in Proverbs 2. Write down the if-thens. Proverbs 2 is the if-then chapter. And write down, if I do this, then this is what will happen. And let God guide you in that. But make sure you do that with the Lord. Make sure you tune into Him. And how big is this? How impactful is this? Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He's going to restore your soul and make you wiser. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. If you do this, you're going to find your joy increasing, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. He's going to show you things. But you got to be in the Word every single day. So would you make a commitment to be more loving? Would you make a commitment to intentionally be intimate with the Lord every day? It will change your life. It really will change your life. But more important, you'll tune into God. I make it a habit, obviously, to be in the Word every day. And it wasn't that long ago that I got up in the morning and I was in my time with the Lord, and I'm writing and doing all this and saying, God, speak to me and teach me. And all of a sudden, here's what came. This is kind of odd. Go to Vons. And Pam had already asked me to go to Vons, and I found that Pam and God really connect. And so I thought, okay, Lord, is that you? And I felt like the Lord said, yeah, that's me. And I thought, all right, Lord, I'll go to Vons today, I promise. So I actually wrote in my quiet time, go to Vons. Well, I got in, it was a study day. I study at home to stay away from distraction. And I'm studying and studying and studying, and I'm right in the midst of just digging and going. All of a sudden, bam, go to Vons. It's time to go to Vons. And I'm like, where did that come from? You know, and Pam, are you whispering, you know? And I thought, all right, Lord, you know, is this the time I'm supposed to go? And I felt like the Lord said, yes, it's the time for you to go. So I get in my truck and I drive over to Vons. It's the only grocery store near our house. And I walk in, starting getting all the stuff Pam tells me to get. And I turn on this aisle and this mom is standing there with her two older elementary sons. And she turns and goes, oh, and she about screams and drops something she has in her hand. And her kids look at me like, no way. And their eyes are really big. And she goes, Pastor Chuck, I was just telling my sons, how would you like it if Pastor Chuck saw you acting like this? I gotta say, don't you think that was the Lord? The timing was perfect. And by the way, if you want to scare elementary school kids, tune into God. And I think God was in heaven laughing. I think he was laughing, saying, set you up, Chuck. Don't you love this? The joy of my heart. You ready for this? God will guide you even in small ways. Zechariah chapter 4. The Lord says this. The Lord says, who has despised the small things? You know what he's trying to tell you is the little things make big differences. Faithful in little, faithful in much. Listening to me and my commandments and what in the moment might not seem a big deal. It's going to have major effect in your life. Loving in that moment, you might not understand how big it could be. Major effect in the kingdom of God. But most of all, I want to share this with you. God loves you. Now, I want to say, everybody here, God loves you. Individually, God loves you. And it's all about having a very real relationship with him, really, really, really knowing him, really spending time with him, really tuning into him. He loves you. And right now, if you're here and you've never experienced his love in a real way, never come into that relationship, here's how you do it. I want to make sure you don't walk out of here not knowing. And what a great way to begin the year this weekend, coming to know the Lord in a very real way. The Bible says you call on the name of the Lord to be saved. You pray and tell him, yes, I want the relationship. And when you do that, you ask him to forgive you your sins. You ask him to cleanse you. You ask him to heal hurt. You ask him to make you new and make you alive. And when you say those things, the Lord will do it. He's going to come and do it. And I want to help you do it. If you've never said yes to God before, we're going to go to a time of prayer. And I'm going to ask you, just pray this prayer with me. Think about the words, pray them. And if you pray those words and mean it, God's going to come close. By the way, if you're here and you need to recommit your life, maybe, you know what, you know you're not walking with God in a very committed way. You know you're not experiencing what he wants you to experience. You know what, why not make this year an incredible year of new beginning with the Lord by renewing your vows to God and praying the prayer with us? Maybe right now you're caught in bondage to something. You come to the right place. Not because we can do anything. We'll care for you. God can transform you and God can set you free. And it all begins with you telling him, yes, I want this. Would you like to be free from something that's got its clutches on you? Would you like to have hope? Would you like to have joy? You know what? Now is the time to say yes. Start the year right with God. Maybe there's hurt that has to be healed. Maybe you're a couple here today. You need to put your marriage into God's hands. By the way, Acts 16:33 tells us that whole households committed their lives to the Lord. Whole families did it. And maybe you need to do that. Or friends, you need to do that together. So maybe you need to grab hands and pray this prayer. So after you pray a prayer that matters that much, there's the next step. And what's the next step? I'm going to ask everybody here to stand and sing. And if you pray the prayer and you mean it, I'm going to ask you, wherever you're at in the room, if you're up in there, make your way to the stairs, make your way to the stairs or to the aisle, and walk down one of these aisles and let us greet you. And then we're going to ask you to head in this room we call the living room. And in there, we're not going to keep you long, but we want to share some things with you, some next steps to take so you walk out. And this week, you grow even closer to God. We'll give you a Bible. We want to encourage you. But you need to do this. But let me tell you why you need to do it. Even though what's in there is important, what really matters is making that walk. Because you know what? Everybody who's ever studied change knows something's true. When you commit to change and you let other people know it, the change has a more lasting impact. Interestingly, the Bible's pattern is always that you privately tell God, I'm committed to this, and then you publicly show it. Isn't that interesting? The Bible always taught that. And God wants to have lasting impact in your life. And when you step out, I know it's scary. And if you want, you can grab someone's hand and say, come with me. But when you step out and make that walk, you're going to sense something happening. And you'll not sense it any other way. You're going to sense God moving. You're going to sense it occurring. And it goes deeper. It goes deeper. So the prayer matters. But making that walk for God, making that walk with God, it goes deep. And I know it might seem scary, but start the year right and make the walk. Let's pray together. Father, I pray right now for your Holy Spirit to call people to you. God, to call them to begin this year right. For some, it's to recommit their lives to you. I really believe there's some people here who even thought that today. They thought, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to get this right. But God, part of that is they need now to pray this prayer and they need to come. And I pray they're going to do it. Lord, there's some couples here today. They need to grab hands and they need to commit their lives to you together and put you at the center of their marriage and family. Pray they're going to do it. God, I actually know there's someone here who They've been so caught up in something that numbs their mind that their feelings aren't even real anymore. And they need to be set free from that. And I pray they're going to come. And Lord, there's someone here who had a dream last night, and that dream's gnawing at them, but it was you speaking to them. And if they would come, they can see themselves set free from what they're fear-filled with. And I pray they're going to come. So Lord, I pray you're going to call anybody to you, some for the first time, some to recommit, some to find freedom, some to find healing from deep hurt. God, I pray they're going to come. Let's keep praying. And right now, if you're ready to say yes to God, would you pray this prayer with me? It starts with you telling him. Here's the question. I know he's speaking to some of you. Are you listening? He's speaking to you. You're listening. And are you ready to say yes to him? If so, pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you love me. And I know you died on the cross to cleanse me and to forgive me from all my sin, to heal me from hurt and from pain, to free me from anything that would hold me back or hold me down. Then say these words. Say, I know you want me to be yours, and you want me to be alive, and you want me to be brand new. So I say yes. Get those words out. If you haven't said anything else, say these words. Say, I say yes. I say yes. Yes, I want you, and yes, I want the life you have for me. So I open my heart to you. Please fill me with your love and fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me completely yours. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen if you prayed that prayer. Amen if you prayed that prayer.